This is WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Scott Walker.
In studio with us this morning, we have the folks from the Parks and Recreation Department, and we've got quite a few guests. Lynn Caldwell is here, also Thomas Laird, Rachel Singer, and Kyle Goss. Who do we start out with this morning?
We're going to start off with Kyle talking about our Plunge Into Fitness, which is our new event that we have this weekend.
Bart was actually talking about that, I guess, yesterday. The Plunge Into Fitness. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, so it's kind of a twist on the Polar Bear Plunge, something we've wanted to make a little bigger and a little different. It's kind of highlighting a lot of the wellness-based classes that we have. So water aerobics, you know, Zoom, Tai Chi, Ai Chi, all those things. We want to kind of showcase those, let everyone come out. It's a free event. And at 11 o'clock, we're all going to jump into the outdoor pool.
Kind of like the Polar Bear Plunge, a new name.
Yeah.
It's still going to be cold, though. You're going to keep it cold, I guess.
Weather permitting.
The weather's not going to be super cold. The water will be
That's good. When the water will still be cold, yeah. And the air will be a little warmer. So it's going to have a little more shock value to you.
Oh, good.
It'll seem colder in there.
Yeah.
I'm sure you're coming out.
Oh, yeah. You know, I always...
You haven't been cold plunging? That's a new fad.
Nothing beats it, you know? It's fun to get in a cold pool. How cold is the pool? Have you checked the temperature?
I haven't checked it today, but it's probably in the low 50s.
Yeah, that'll feel
a little chilly.
A little frigid.
Kind of put that in perspective. We usually keep our pools about 83, 84 degrees, and I'll start getting complaints when it hits 82.
Yeah, 80 to 50 is a big difference there. How many people do you expect to come out for this?
With a little twist on it this year, I'm not too sure. We changed the time. I was kind of hoping with us pushing it back into February, it'd be a little colder. I don't know. The past few years, it seems colder in February to me. But we might get, 50, 60, 70.
Now, can you imagine if you did this like a week and a half ago when it got down to 3 degrees?
That'd be awesome.
That would have been interesting.
I would have loved it.
That would have been really cold.
Oh, yeah.
That would almost be dangerous, I guess. I don't know.
One year on the Polar Bear Plunge that... These guys had to break the ice.
Yeah, we were out there breaking the ice and kind of dragging it across to clear spots for people to jump, throwing salt on there to help it melt. It was fun.
I don't know that I would describe that as fun. So anyway, when people come out for this, they'll be introduced to a lot of different things that are happening within the Parks and Rec and different exercise classes. And again, kind of go over some of those different classes.
Yeah, sure. So at 8 a.m. when the doors open... we'll have people at the front. We have the class schedule posted to our website, social media. But we have a warm-up class. We have a class to help you with your back. We have Zumba, a total body, some Ai Chi, Tai Chi, yoga, all sorts of different classes.
We have them on in the exercise rooms and water aerobics in the pool. So it's kind of a great opportunity for people if you're interested in any of them. They're just 15-minute segments, correct? So just like 15 minutes, come in, kind of see if it's something you like. You're going to get to meet the instructors. They're going to talk a little bit about it, the benefits, the value of it. So just a great opportunity.
So all of that coming up this Saturday starts at 8 a.m. and then the actual jump into the outdoor pool is at 11?
11, yep. And then at 10 o'clock we have a 1 mile fun run outside. Then we also have cold yoga going on as well right before it.
Now, do you have to sign up in advance for any of this stuff? Just show up.
Everyone can just show
come
up.
Come out that
it's
day.
It's a free event.
Lots of fun. Are you going to come run?
Running and
it's 1 mile.
Cold water jumping are both my things, so I'm sure I'll be there.
Nate's going to run, I think.
Well, good.
And plunge.
Good. Run and plunge. You run, then you plunge, right? Because it's the run first at 10. Okay. Easy enough to remember. All right, so what else is happening within the parks?
Valentine's Day is coming up in February, so the Sweetheart Dance at St. Clair Senior Center. Those dances are always a big hit, lively music. Nate shows up and his dance cart's full.
Oh, wow.
$5 per person, and they can contact St. Clair Senior Center or go to our website. Lynn's got a new series starting on Facebook.
Yeah, that's something else we've started with St. Clair. If you follow them on their Facebook page, we're kind of just doing a profile of the different members. There's just so many incredible stories of the people that go there. So I'm starting to just do some interviews with them and then post those. And the people have been really excited about that. We've had a lot of engagement and a lot of excitement around that.
You know, with all the healthcare available today and all the different medications out there, I mean, people are living a lot longer and they're acting a lot younger too.
Yes. It is a happening place. So there's always something going on, and that's something we want to encourage people just to kind of stop by. You can go anytime and just go in and tell them you want to take a tour, and they'll, you know, give you all the information about it. We also have our senior connection that's available, and a lot of people really like that because it kind of just goes through all the classes. Of course, you can get that on the website, but sometimes people like to have that in hand. But it goes through all the different classes, the travel things that are coming up, and so forth. So
and what what types of travel things do happen within St. Clair and all the folks who go there?
They have so many different travel opportunities. There's a lot of local trips. They do a lot of day trips where you can sign up. So maybe, you know, going to Cookeville or Knoxville or Nashville. They do a lot of Nashville day trips. But then they also do some regional in country trips. And then they also do some international ones as well. And those fill up fast. But you can go. They have information nights and so forth and get a little more information on that and all the details.
Yeah, I didn't know they did international trips,
yes,
too.
Yes, they
do. That's cool.
Yeah, it's really neat. I can't remember where the next one is. But,
but they partner with that. We partner with travel company that works with us, and they do a really good job of taking care of our seniors. And they've been to Germany and England, and
that sounds cool.
And big part of Europe.
I'm sure it's a lot cheaper to go with a big group too, so that probably helps out a lot.
They do, and then a lot of we've talked to a lot of the different people that go, and they talk a lot about just the community you build and just the friendships. And I talked to a couple ladies not too long ago that didn't really know a lot of other people in town and kind of went on a trip, you know, made some friends, and now they travel with them like once a year, and you know, they kind of get together and decide which trip they want to do, and just some really great friendships formed and stuff from that as well.
So have you got any ideas on approximately how many people utilize St. Clair Street Senior Center each week?
I think the count's up in terms of visits is roughly about 2,500 visits.
Wow.
Week. It's, so it's always full.
It's always full.
You know,
full.
That's multiple users. We have some that are there every day, and then some that come, you know, once a week for classes and different reasons. But it's frequented a lot.
Yeah, I was reading an article recently, and it talked about how most cities across the U.S. are going to see a huge increase in numbers for those who are 55 plus. I think it said starting either this year or next year. So we're going to really grow those numbers.
Yeah.
Right.
That's happening at the St. Clair Street Senior Center, the Sweetheart Dance coming up. And again, that's $5 a person. And then your new Facebook series, that's going to start next month. And people can learn more about the St. Clair Street Senior Center, I guess, online or by calling or stopping by. Now, there's also a daddy-daughter dance coming up. Where is that going to be?
That is being held at Patterson, of course, the day after Valentine's Day. But that's a great opportunity for fathers to take their daughters, if a school or the traditional daddy-daughter dance that may not happen at their school or have an opportunity. There's still space left. It's a very popular event. We have our youth engagement division kind of host that, so that helps a lot of our kids in our after-school programs be able to come to the daddy-daughter dance. And, you know, it's just a great opportunity for any man in a child's life to be able to take the daughter to.
Do schools still do those dances? I haven't seen a lot of information about
them. I don't think as
them.
Much. Maybe Girl Scouts do, I think. Some of them have that. So that's what we hear. A lot of people really like this chance to kind of come out and have that sweet experience. It's $20 a person, but you get food. Everything's decorated nice. There's picture photo opportunities. And of course, there's music. And from all the pictures we see, like, everybody's dancing. So if you've got a little girl that likes to dance, get out there and do your dance moves and enjoy.
Yeah, I'm sure, Thomas, you've got lots of dance moves, so that would be perfect.
Lots of dance moves.
Have you got any daughters, though?
No, I do have one daughter.
Yes, you do.
I don't have. Oh, wait, I do
have one daughter. She has dance moves like I do.
His poor daughter. No, I don't have it.
She's listening
to
that in Knoxville, Tennessee right now. Right. We'll make sure we'll send her a clip of that.
Dad, I thought, that's awkward. Okay.
No, I'll say this, Scott, if I could, about a daddy-daughter dance. If you have a daughter, you've never done something like that, it's so worth the time. You know, if you have a niece or a granddaughter or somebody you're, you know, just really close to as a family member, it's really special. Kyle and I actually got to participate in one of those on Friday night, and I think both of our daughters really enjoyed that time. The dance moves are unique when they're, you know, 7 and 8 years old.
And you're acknowledging your daughter.
Yeah, that's, I am acknowledging my beautiful daughter.
I don't have a daughter. She's in college now.
He said it again. By golly.
I can't
think Thomas is just sad that she probably wouldn't go with him when she's 20 years old. So, but it's such a great experience. Our staff out there do such a tremendous job making it really a special time. But I'll just encourage anybody, if you're thinking, hey, that's kind of silly, it's not at all. It's a really special experience.
And that's going to be at Patterson Park here in town. And again, what is the date for that one?
It's February 15th. Okay. It's February 15th, that Saturday, and you can go online to get your tickets. You can also stop by the facility as well.
And then that same day, you're going to do a triathlon, so the father and daughters out there can then go right
that morning, starting at 8 o'clock, and that's definitely something you do need to sign up for, but that's another really popular event. I think they still have a couple spaces left, but that's the Patterson Triathlon. So swimming, biking, running, just a really cool event.
So where are they going to bike to? I mean, where's the start
and
the end?
It's a stationary bike.
Oh, okay.
So they ride a stationary bike, they swim laps in the pool, and then they run on the track, indoor track.
Okay, and that is all, again, at Patterson Park as well?
Yes, sir.
All right, and that's going to be the day after Valentine's also, and then the Dance for Heart Zumba Master Class. What is the Master Class of Zumba?
That's another big event that we have just kind of for heart health. So in the month of February, and that's on February 22nd. And it's like a 90-minute class, just kind of going over all the different Zumbas. But I think Masterclass is just a little bit like the instructors, and they'll show you all the different moves. And it's a fun, it's anybody can come to that and enjoy that. It's 90 minutes. They usually have some vendors and things like that and information about heart health. And they ask you to wear red, and it's just a really fun a fun day.
Now, how would you describe Zumba for somebody who's never actually taken it before?
A high impact dance type dance. Class kind of has a Caribbean feel to it.
So they play like reggae music, or what do
sometimes
they do?
Just kind of up,
just maybe fast paced.
Yeah, fast, yeah, fast dancing,
quick movements. You know, yeah. So I think it's constantly changing. I think that's what a lot of people like about it. Is there's, you know, different variations, and it's a different way to kind of just keep your body moving in a fun way.
Kind of like today's version of Jazzercise, I guess.
Maybe. But would it be helpful for us to do a video of Thomas doing it?
Yes,
and we
it
can
would.
Put it out on social media later so we can really give it a good
absolutely.
Example.
Yeah, that okay. That would be good. That'd
we will
be
work on that.
Don't send that one to my daughter.
Yeah.
And then in addition to the Zumba Masterclass on the 22nd of February, you've got Greenway 100. And what is that?
That is just something we wanted to talk about a little bit. We've had that program for quite a while, I believe, but it's something we're going to kind of work on revamping a little bit. So many people use the Greenway, right? Like everybody enjoys going out there. We just want to make it a little more interactive where you kind of start counting your miles and so forth. So you can kind of look for us to start making a few changes with that. Initially, you can sign up. You can go to the Wilderness Station. We're working towards just getting that online as well. But for instance, one of my coworkers at work, we walk throughout the day on our break. And so we're starting to now like count that. So just like every time we come back, we're like, okay, we did another mile. You know, you just kind of keep track of it. And when we're done with our 100 miles, we'll turn that in and we'll get a T-shirt and a decal. And so anyway, a couple people have come up and asked us about it. And so we just want to kind of start promoting that a little more and make that fun. And something that everybody can do, because a lot of people use that, and it's just kind of a fun thing to be able to say, hey, I did 100 miles on the Greenway.
That's a pretty good ways too. How long is the actual Greenway today if you walk, you know, from start to end?
Rachel?
We have about 17 miles of Greenway. It doesn't all connect quite yet, but we're getting there. So we've got the standalone portion of the North Murfreesboro Greenway, which has 3 miles of its own. And then the rest runs through town. So we're super lucky to have that in our community. And, you know, I think if you grew up here, if you've been here for a long time, you might take it for granted. But if you start moving around or going to other cities, they just don't have it. And it's such a great amenity that we have right here.
So that northern portion of it, that starts, what, at the Walter Hill Dam area? And then you go towards Central Valley Road?
Central Valley. And then it pushes now past Central Valley and just does, I always call it like a lollipop. So it comes back on itself.
So if it were to connect in the future to that north side, where would it actually connect? Or what are some thoughts on where you could make it connect?
Yeah, so eventually we're going to utilize, you know, sidewalks and bike paths that will go up Thompson Lane, cut over around the Miller Coliseum, and hopefully go through, you know, connect Siegel and then over to Cherry Lane and then eventually get you to Central Valley.
And then you have some pedestrian bridges that actually go over the river, different sections of the river. I'm trying to think though, how many pedestrian only bridges have you got?
Ooh, I'd have to count them up, but I mean, a good probably 7 or 8 easily.
And that's kind of cool though, when you do have those bridges, because you don't have cars all around you, you can actually stop and overlook the river. It is a neat thing.
Yeah, it's really pretty. The Stones River is beautiful in each season. So sometimes there's no water in it. Sometimes it's flooding.
it's pretty low in some areas right now.
Every season brings something else to it. So a great wildlife corridor. So we're just right in the middle of town.
So if you wanted to walk the whole Greenway, or at least the section that's the longest section, where would you actually start if you wanted to go from front to end?
Yeah, you could start. It makes the most sense to either start at Barfield or Thompson Lane. Those are the two kind of, terminus points if you're not counting the North Murfreesboro Greenway.
Now, that whole area, that does connect, going from Thompson Lane to Barfield Park, right?
It does.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that is a pretty long, I don't know, how many miles is that alone?
That's about 15 miles if you do all of the spurs. So we've got the Lytle Creek spur in there that will go to Cannonsburg, and then we've got the Gateway Island Trail, so you would have to do all of those to get that mileage. But yeah, you could do it continuously.
We recently, Scott, got a federal grant to connect right behind Dodge's, that area. We're trying to really put a focus on that, on cleaning that area up, opening it up just a little bit. Doing some really fun, unique stuff with our natural resources teams, partnering with others. But we're going to connect Lytle to that section of Greenway with another bridge. So we're trying to really make that connection, for future growth downtown Lytle Street and how that connectivity can really work. And I think when we open it up, it's inherently, just a better space.
And that entire area is really going to change a lot once you have that opening or daylighting of Town Creek too.
And we're trying to get ahead of that and look and see how that could affect, what we can do to mimic what's going to happen right down Broad Street.
And how is all that coming along anyway? Because I know you can look out the back window. There's no buildings there anymore right there along Broad, so it has already changed.
Yeah, it's coming along. I know they've bid the project and things are really progressing. That's not a parks project, so I'm not intimately involved with it, but I know our development services team is working really hard to make that happen. I think that's something that everybody knows has been really looked forward to. And I think, once that happens, it's going to change that face of downtown Murfreesboro. And I think exposing just more green space, something I'm proud of that we do as a city, when it comes to our staff level and recommendations to council, is just preserving green space. So we're growing so rapidly, an area like that to have open water, green space, park-like amenities, it's just going to be valuable for generations to come in Murfreesboro.
So now, once all of that is complete, will it then fall under the Parks Department? Because it is going to be a park setting.
Yeah, it's going to be really unique, and it'll probably be a partnership of Parks and then Public Works. We're looking right now at the best way to maintain that and how it's going to function. But, right now with the city of Murfreesboro, it's just a great time to be working here that's working, between departments. We're all on the same page, working in the same direction, and it'll be just kind of a conglomerate of all of us taking care of it.
Now, I know a lot of people talked about the idea of having some type of amphitheater near or next to Cannonsburg in downtown. Is that something that is still being talked about or thought of?
We're constantly evaluating what could happen downtown. There are some properties at play when it comes to, this project in the future that we're looking at different options. I will say we've got four projects going to council this Thursday night that really are exciting. One of those is Veterans Park. People have been waiting for some time. We ended up bidding that. It came back well under budget, so we were really pleased with that. But that's going to have an event space, so that's the type of thing on Veterans Park where we can, rent that out, do concerts. We can do concerts ourselves, host different types of events, and we're really excited about that. Do you mind if I tell you the other three projects that are going to council real quick?
Please don't. No, I'm kidding.
Duly noted, yeah. Scott. Duly noted.
Let's hear about them, Nate.
We're really excited. Again, these aren't approved yet. These are just going. There's been a lot of work happening behind the scenes to get these projects going, and it seems sometimes like they get kind of just stuck in the mud moving, but there's so much detail to how we get these projects bid out and then get back and then a notice to proceed after approval by council. But we're replacing the small playground at Siegel Soccer Complex. That's been there since 2005, and we're going to put a new play feature. I think people are going to be really excited about. It's more of a singular play feature that's for climbing. Old Fort Park, the ball field that we have at the front of the park, I'm sure you've seen it your whole life. You've got kind of some leaning light poles, a field that's not in great shape, old fencing that's been there since the 70s. So we're replacing all of that with a new field. If approved by council, we're proposing to replace it. We got our bids to come back on that. We're also going to correct some stormwater issues that we have. If anybody's ever been there after a rain event, you can tell, that water just kind of stays. So
yeah, the parking lot gets kind of wet.
Good opportunity to do that. We're working with our water resources team, stormwater group, to make that that happen. So that's going. Patterson Park Community Center, we've been working for a long time, master planning how we can improve the outside space. So we're about to redo all the parking. The parking is in just pretty rough shape right now. So we're going to expand parking to have more. We can accommodate bigger things. And then also add a playground and then a splash pad in front of the facility, really kind of between Bradley Academy and Patterson Park.
That is a lot of stuff going on then.
Yeah, it's a lot. We're excited to take all those to council and just present those to them and go from there. But there's just a lot of stuff going. You know, parks have always been supported in Murfreesboro. We're really thankful for that. And we just do the best job we can to help sustain that.
So going back to that new Veterans Park, the outdoor, I don't know, is it going to be like an amphitheater? Or is it going to be a stage? What is that going to be?
So it's going to be a place where you can bring in a stage pretty easily, but it also will be double as a pavilion that people can rent. I really like the design. So it opens up to an event space where you could possibly do, you know, a concert. You can do maybe some type of market, something like that. But the back of the pavilion works as a stage awning type where you can come in, put in a platform, and it's all, you know, ready for the electrical requirements of bands and stuff like that.
Now, I know the city council was talking about the idea of building a school on that same property for Veterans Park. Is that still being considered?
Yeah, we've got 153 acres out there, and what we've done with the planning is really kind of focus the heart of the park, you know, kind of to one side, and there's a huge trail network that goes all the way around. That's one of, like, the Greenway, one of our most popular things that we can provide. But we do have some open space, and I won't say school, I won't say anything. It's just for future development. We don't know what that need might be. It could be a fire station, library, police, you know, precinct, there, a school. You know, we just have a space that we're preserving right now, but we're really happy with the amount of dedicated park space that we have. You know, the green space, got some multi-use, you know, kind of flat areas that we could use for sports fields if we needed to in a pinch. Active court space, and our destination playground is something that I think everybody's going to be very, very excited about. It's something that is unique to anything that we have in Murfreesboro, and we're pretty pumped about it.
So will this be the biggest playground, most extensive playground in town once it's built?
It will have been the most expensive playground we would have had by two times, probably.
So a big, nice playground there at Veterans Park. But what is the approximate date for actually getting all this off the ground?
Yeah, so we're expecting, you know, there's work after, if approved by council. I think our council is very excited to see that project happen. So we'll take that to council. If we proceed with a contract, there's some work that has to go on. It'll take about a month to get a notice to proceed to happen. And from there, we're expecting an 11 to 12 month construction period. Of course, there's a lot of grading with it, so weather's key. You know, whenever you have such a large site and you're moving a lot of dirt, you know, it's hard to catch up from rain days on that. So we're expecting 11 to 12 month construction period on it, and get it open as soon as we can if approved.
Man, there's a lot that goes into, you know, building, designing a new park, from taking plans to the city council. They approve it, then I mean there's just a lot that goes on there.
There is, and like I said, we're fortunate that Murfreesboro is unique in how we can, we get a lot of trust at a staff level. We work with our planning team at City Hall. We work with our public works team. We all work together to come up with what we think is a great product, and then typically we can bring that forward, and it's usually met with good regard.
Now, this will be the first, city park in the area of, or going towards Blackman, or that yeah. direction at least?
Yeah, it's something we really started working on in 2016, looking at park properties, see what we could have out there, what areas might work, and had a couple different iterations at a couple different properties, and I couldn't be more pleased with with the product we've ended up with.
And it was interesting because originally this was not going to be the land for City of Murfreesboro's park, because it was owned by Middle Tennessee Electric at first.
Yeah, we had a different piece of property off of 840, and you know, Middle Tennessee Electric had this for a corporate headquarters spot, and there were some discussions had, and everybody started thinking, hey, maybe our properties are opposite of what the intended use might be best for. So they've been a good partner with us to do things. They've, you know, Middle Tennessee Electric sponsors our 4th of July celebration every year, and we've worked well with them. But yeah, the property was traded, and we're about to hopefully get a park started out there.
And it seems like this is a lot better land for a park, because it's basically in a lot of different neighborhoods, because they're surrounded by homes.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really nestled in. You know, you've got Overall Creek that runs right by it, with a lot of residential areas. And I know our neighbors out there have been patiently waiting I've talked to a couple this week, and we're really glad for them to be able to get that project going.
Now, are there plans for the Greenway to connect to this somehow?
Yeah, if anybody's ever interested about our Greenway plans, they can go to our, we've got a master plan that we just had done last year, finally completed, and it shows potential, you know, routes that it could take. There's nothing definitive, but it's showing that how we can do it. But it does show, you know, there being a Greenway spur out there. And we actually have a pavilion that's going to be part of the construction that would serve as a trailhead. It's a standalone pavilion, but we'll be able to use right now connected by the trail network and, like I said, standalone parking.
Sounds good. So, again, the new Veterans Park and plans will, or not plans, but construction, all that stuff going to take at least 12 months or so.
And yeah, that's what we're thinking. It's an extensive project. Our bid document, just for example, how comprehensive these things are, our bid document for this project was 1,400 pages.
What in the world do you put 1,400 pages of park?
A lot of words.
that's pretty thick.
I read all of it last night. So, oh, no, good. I'm just kidding. I didn't read all of it.
Like, but, reading, yeah, War and Peace.
I have to say, too, our designer's done a tremendous job on this. We used a firm that's relatively local, and they've been great to work with, listen to what our desires are, and helped us, I think, come up with just a great final product.
When you look at different parks across the nation and what cities and states are doing, what are the newest, what are the latest things that some parks are trying, and do you foresee new things, new ventures here locally?
You know, we're always looking for what the next thing is. You know, we're not necessarily chasing trends, because sometimes those, you know, just come and go as quickly as possible, as they came in. But, you know, I think we're looking at trends that come operationally and programmatically that happen, and we try to sustain those. Of course, pickleball is huge right now. You know, it's not going anywhere, so we're looking at building more community courts. We will have more community pickleball courts at Veterans Park. But it's stuff like that that we're looking at. Right now, you know, our main focus that we, you know, when it comes to development and just our park system, we want to preserve space. We don't want to just build everything. You know, we don't want to build a park that has just a hodgepodge of everything. You have baseball, soccer, you know, trail. You don't want to do everything you have in one park. You want to be more methodical about that.
And then also the park out there where it used to be General Electric, and it's actually where the Battle of Stones River, part of that battle, took place. How is all of that coming along? Because I know the city took that over, what, a couple of years ago?
A couple of years ago, yeah. We worked with the American Battlefield Trust, and it was a really unique setup. That's an organization that takes significant historic property that was significant to the Civil War, and they want to make sure they preserve that so it's not developed. So a lot of times they'll try to get that and hold on to it, or get it and donate it to the federal government. This one couldn't be done, so they asked us if we would consider, you know, leasing it of some sort to maintaining it. We just really grew a really good relationship with them, and at the end of the day, they said, hey, what if we just donate this to the city? So they donated that property, over 40 acres, to the city, and we've done some stuff to really kind of enhance it. We're about to work on the trail network. We've got interpretive signs up. But it's just been renamed Schaefer Park after one of the generals passed away out there. And we're excited for the plans that are coming. And if you go out there when we finally have it done, it'll mimic just pretty much exactly what the National Park Service has at Stones River. You won't be able to tell the difference, but they're a great partner for us to be able to work with on a project like this.
And that is on Broad Street, just down from International Paper and all those businesses there.
Yeah, and it's one of those things. We just replaced all the old chain link fencing with that split rail, that snake style fencing, and just something like that, you know, to spruce that up. It just looks so much better, as it serves as kind of a corridor from 840 coming into Murfreesboro.
Now, historically speaking, was that area where the entrance to the drive-in movie theater once was? Because there was a drive-in.
I should be asking you that question, Scott.
Yeah, you know, because I'm 100 years old.
No, but I don't know. Let's call your dad. Let's just call your dad.
Hey, Bart. Yeah. I know there was a drive-in.
You got about
there.
10 people wanting to call in right that's, now, that's though, right. I'm sure.
Call Bart Fine. He probably remembers.
Yeah, because I don't remember what year I was told it closed, but I think it closed around the 1960s or 70s or so. But yeah, anyway, so there used to be a drive-in out there somewhere. Anyway, so we can move on from there. What else is happening within the parks, and what else is coming up?
One of the other things we wanted to just let everyone know is we are bringing back Lunch on the Plaza, which was something really fun. We started last spring. We're doing it a little bit different. It's going to run March through October, and it's going to be the third Friday of every month, and that's on Civic Plaza, so in front of City Hall. And we just bring in a bunch of our favorite food trucks and music and tables, and just a great like Friday afternoon kind of thing for people to come out, grab lunch, spend some time with friends, and just relax for a little bit before you get back to your workday.
So that's coming up in a little over 30 days or so from now, March through October,
okay. Third Friday.
And I know, how many years have y'all done that now?
We just started it last year.
Oh, okay.
So this last is just year. Our second year starting it, yeah.
Then I guess I'm thinking about where the food trucks used to come.
Yeah, we used to do Food Truck Friday at Cannonsburg. Okay. So we brought this. We wanted to really activate that Civic Plaza. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, a great space. But what we found with this, there's a lot of people. It just was a great way to start kind of, you know, celebrating the end of their week, go have a good lunch, nice shade spot, and sit with their coworkers or family or friends. And it's become really popular.
And so, again, that starts in March, then runs through October 3rd. Then also Cannonsburg and an open house there. When does that happen?
That is going to be at the very first of April. We're going to have just a little open house, kind of inviting people out to kind of re-experience Cannonsburg again. Probably have some question answer time and just kind of walk around the village and so forth. And then, of course, we have Pioneer Day, which is April 26th, that Saturday. So that's kind of one of their big spring events.
Now, I know there was, people were worried that Cannonsburg was going to close. People were worried about the future of Cannonsburg, but that was all just a bunch of myths going around, and whatever became of all that talk.
You know, I think that was all a lot of nothing. We're always looking and evaluating. Cannonsburg's been there since 1976, so we took some time to evaluate the buildings to see, you know, where we are, you know, with those buildings, the shape that they're in, and we're excited to start doing some work on them. We're about to do some work on the museum that's been closed to the public for some time because of structural and roof issues. So there's not a baseball field that's going to go out there. That was not something, you know, recently has been advocated for, and that's something that we were never in discussion with anybody about.
So next year, next year Cannonsburg will turn 50. Are there any big celebrations being planned?
Yes, we have a lot of things in the work. We're really excited about that.
Well, there you have it. And yep. Cannonsburg will be here to stay. So there.
Cannonsburg's here to stay.
that's right. So as we close this morning, are there, I don't know, well, is there anything we left off? That
we got youth basketball going on, so people want to go out and watch. Most of our city schools and all of our community centers have basketball going on Saturdays. And then the Miracle League is doing registration now. Anyone with a son or daughter or adult or youth with special needs that wants to get involved. And I know it's baseball, but it's really a good opportunity for them to make friends. And it's just an amazing community. So
Miracle League, that is something that people can also volunteer to help out with, the Miracle Field?
Right. Usually we have our baseball, softball teams from our high schools that come out, work with the kids. And then we have a lot of our first responders and our firefighters and police officers. But if individuals want to come out and work, we have several volunteers as well. I think we have a dugout mom position open this year. So we have several volunteer positions.
And then the location of the Miracle Field, it's right there in front of SportsCom for anybody who's not been there before, I guess.
Yes, it's right in front of SportsCom where the 15-year-old temporary field used to be.
That would have been, yeah, a long time ago, I guess, right?
Right, I remember we had temporary fields, I guess, in the early 2000s. They put two fields, said these are temporary, we're going to build some more ball fields. And they built Barfield Park, but the temporary field stayed until we built the Miracle Field.
And then if anybody wants to learn, you know, any of the information we talked about, if they want to learn more about the parks, they just can do so online.
Yep, MurfreesboroParks.com. Check out our Things to Do calendar. We've got lots of spotlights up. And then, of course, follow us on social media because we're always posting what's going on and keep everybody involved.
Scott, if I could add one more thing. We have the opportunity to do a lot of fun things. We have great facilities. We have a tremendous staff that really care and want to work hard to make sure we have the best facilities. We're supported. This is all done, you know, because of our support that we have, and something that will help if people really enjoy, you know, the benefits of the park system. Go to MurfreesboroCensus.com if you're a city resident and participate in our special census. This is an opportunity to get more, you know, shared revenue funding from the state. So it could help offset other cost and help us just be able to keep on developing new parks. But if you haven't done so, we really need every city resident to participate at MurfreesboroCensus.com.
And we do also have census forms at all of our facilities. And so if you go into one of our facilities, you can just ask for that. We've got them. It literally takes less than a minute. So you can fill that out and hand it to them and they'll get it to me and I'll get it to the right place. So
and so depending on how many additional people are in this census count, what could this potentially mean for the Parks Department?
You know, it's millions of dollars. You know, it's millions of dollars that could offset other types of expenses that we have. But it helps us. Everything that we can do helps us to be able to grow, helps us to be able to, you know, renovate and then, you know, continually expand what we have.
Thank you all for joining us.
Thanks, Scott.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Scott.
Music World and Drummer's Den, guitars, keyboards, drums, we have you covered. Our prices will normally meet internet prices. When I buy a guitar, I have to put my hands on the guitar neck. You can do that here. You can try your instrument before you ever put any money on it at all. And still, cheaper than what you could get online most of the time, at least master prices at worst. Come see us at Music World and Drummer's Den, 2762 South Church Street, right across from the golf course.
This is Peter Demas inviting you to enjoy a meal with our family at Demas's Restaurant. With cold and flu season here, nothing helps my family more than having the Demas's baked chicken and rice soup. It was a soup that was created by my grandmother, and we not only sell it by the cup, but we also sell it by the quart, by the half gallon, and by the gallon. So stop by anytime today and bring soup to your family that might be sick or a friend that's been sick, or just to enjoy it just because it tastes so good. Demas's Restaurant.
Friends? Yes. The financial partners whom you've built a relationship with at Old National Bank are still at the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard location, right here in the borough. And so are the warm, homemade cookies.
Cookies are ready, dear.
Like Grandma used to make. If you need online and mobile banking, Murfreesboro's Old National Bank does that too. You and Old National Bank, better together.
Old National Bank at 2230 Dr. MLK Jr. Boulevard. Old National Bank, member FDIC.